Karen Lyle of Salesport Talk with a shout out to InShape Health Clubs in Capitola, El Dorado, and Kern County, California, all of which are open. InShape Health Clubs are not only a member of the iTex trading community, where your iTex dollars are welcome, they benefit the American Cancer Society and St. Jude Children's Hospital. Visit InShape.com for the latest on our open locations and online programs. That's InShape.com. This is Salesport Talk, recognizing local businesses around the world that make each city unique. This is Karen Lyle with Salesport Talk and a historical moment, remembering the Lady Washington's trip from Pier 39 to Aberdeen in 2019. Karen Lyle here with SalesportTalk.com. This Ship's a Sea Spotlight is brought to you by Grays Harbor Historical Seaport. I'm here in the studio with Captain Richard Bailey, captain of the tall ship Lady Washington that will be making the journey from Pier 39 to Aberdeen. Captain Bailey, tell us about the Lady Washington.
Lady Washington is a brig, which means she has two masts with square sails.
And you live aboard the Lady Washington and have a crew.
Yeah, I joke and say living aboard Lady Washington. I have a cabin. All of the closets in my house are bigger than my cabin aboard Lady Washington.
And she's a historical ship, so reliving the life. Tell us a bit about the life.
Yeah, what she does is certainly not yachting. It's a working sail. It's kind of historically, sailing ships were the tractor trailers of the sea. You know, they carried cargo and they were the buses of the sea and the airplanes of the sea. I mean, they carried cargo and passengers throughout the world. And Lady Washington is a replica of a ship that came out to the West Coast from Boston. She wasn't a big ship in her day, but she was a serviceable little vessel, and she's fun to sail today.
How important is teamwork there on that ship for your safety?
Well, teamwork is everything. Lady Washington sees a fair turnover of crew because it's not a brilliant career move to be a square rig sailor, but young people come with enthusiasm. And we forge them into a working crew. And it's, I think, the byline of the organization is ship, shipmates, self.
If you're thinking about stories and things that have happened in the past, is there any time that you had an experience that really showed how teamwork was important to the well-being of the ship and the crew?
I think every time we go to sea, we have to all pull our share of the load because we don't carry extra sailors. It's so ingrained in the culture of working sail that people work together and that if you don't do your job, your shipmates will all know it immediately. There aren't many slackers in the tall ship industry.
I'm Karen Lyle and this is SailsportTalk.com. Join us next time with the Lady Washington and Hawaiian Chieftain as we follow their journey up the Pacific coast to Aberdeen, Washington.
All right, thank you for that. We're back live. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast, around the globe on American Forces Radio Network. And Tuesday at 9:40 is when we're joined to co-host this segment with Karen Lyle. And it is brought to you by SailsportTalk.com. And we'll get to our guests in a second. But Karen, how you doing today?
I am doing great. Thinking about tall ships, you know. Did you know that my ancestors came over to America on a tall ship?
So did mine, from one from Wales, one from England, one from Germany, and then I guess on a steamship from Denmark. And it's unless we're Native American, I think we all can relate. And let's bring in our guest. We have a Karen. Let's go with an Aaron. Aaron Short, who is the director of Tall Ships Challenge, which is all over the place. And first of all, Aaron, welcome to the show. How did you get involved in this endeavor?
Hi, thank you so much for having me. How did I get involved in this? It is as simple as answering an ad because I was tired of working inside in a department store and really missed being on the water in the summer and just happened to find an ad that was looking for someone who could sell merchandise and manage events. And I had catering background when I was in college and worked for a catering company. So it all kind of came together and here we are 15 years later, still doing it.
Aaron, you know, Tall Ships America is an amazing organization. I think you have, 200? Tell us how many ships you have and also about about that book that you have that you publish every year that shows the details on ships.
Yeah, we have about 200 member vessels, and we publish, it's actually about every 18 months, we publish a directory called Sail Tall Ships, and it is available on our website. And so it lists all of our member vessels, what kind of programs they run, who sails on board, how you can sail on board. And it also includes color photographs of life on board and experiences from either trainees or professional sailors. And we have an internship program during the summer during the Tall Ships Challenge, and we have essays by the interns in there as well.
So what would qualify as a tall ship? How many masts, how many sails? How do you qualify it?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. If you look at our directory, we have all types of ships. Most of our ships, and this is how I normally answer it, is it's a traditionally rigged vessel. So it's not a modern rigged vessel like you'd see at America's Cup or the Volvo Ocean Race, but it is a traditionally rigged vessel. And that's the easiest way for me to answer it. There are different rig types, and you can get into if it's over, a certain amount of footage, length overall, then, technically it's a tall ship. But we have some smaller tall ships that are 60 feet in length. And then we have some ships like the Peruvian Navy ship that is 400 feet in tall ship. And they are both considered tall ships. Because they're traditionally rigged. That's how I like to answer it.
Erin, you mentioned the Peruvian naval vessel. Is that Union? Is that also mm-hmm. part of Tall Ship America?
It is. We list all of the military vessels in our book as members, and luckily we've been able to work with many of them. It's really a special experience. To see one of those ships come in and then have all the sailors running around in their uniforms. It's really awesome. but, part of what their program is as ambassadors for their country. So, not only is it a way for them to maintain those traditional seamanship skills that are still relevant, but it also allows them to travel, sail and represent their respective countries. And it's a lot of fun.
So how do you break down the challenge? Because I think about what qualifies as a tall ship. Obviously, the Flying Cloud is going to crush the Golden Hind. So how do you how do you make it even?
So the ships are handicapped. The Tall Ship Challenge is a series. It rotates from coast to coast every year. Obviously, with the past year, things were kind of held up a little bit. But we do rotate from coast to coast every year. And it's the invite goes out to our member vessels, and they show up to the Maritime Festival in port. And then between those ports, we do have races. There is a handicap system that is employed. That is, each of the ships has a rating. We don't provide the rating. Our colleagues at Sail Training International provide that rating, and there's a 10-page document that the ships have to fill out, and they have their super secret rating system that they use, and that's the one that we use as well. And it definitely evens out the playing field to the detriment of some of the more competitive ships. So it keeps it interesting, that's for sure.
Well, at least we're racing for fun and not actually shooting cannons at each other happened oftentimes in the olden days. Tell us about the event that you have going on the East Coast, because you are actually bringing together a few ships here in the pandemic and making this happen.
Oh, we are, and I have to give a huge shout out to our Booth Bay main host partners, because they really stuck with us. Obviously, no one expects a global pandemic, so everything came to a grinding halt, but they were determined to keep moving forward. So we have a very small, I'm calling it a very conservative event. We have four ships that are going to be there. Little Schooner Alert out of Maine. We have a Spanish ship called Santa Maria. She's from Huelva, Spain. And then we have Spirit of Bermuda from Bermuda. And then we also have a tall ship, Lynx, who is a replica of an 1812 privateer. And she is homeported in Nantucket. And it's kind of fun because the captain of Lynx and the captain of Spirit of Bermuda are father and son. So it's really special to have them as part of the fleet. So we are being really conservative. They are really limiting the amount of tickets that they're selling. They're limiting the amount of people on board. We're trying to maintain a lot of space between people so no one feels overwhelmed. So I'm really impressed with how thoughtful the organizers have been in moving forward with this event. So it's been, I leave tomorrow and I am beyond excited to smell pine tar and hang out on the deck of the tall ship.
A couple more questions for Erin Short, Tall Ships Challenge Director, as she heads up to Booth Bay Harbor in Maine, of course, our state that's the only one that's one syllable. But I think something else, you know, we think of these tall ships, we think about heritage, and as for Maine, this is the state's bicentennial year, isn't it?
It is. Technically, it was last year, but I think they rebranded as the Bicentennial Plus One. So yes, I admire that. So yes, it is their bicentennial year, and they have a few other events going on in the Penobscot Bay area. And also in Portland, Maine as well.
Well, Erin, if San Francisco wanted to host one of these one year, what would they have to do?
We hosted in 2008. We actually did bring the tall ships to San Francisco back in 2008. The ships were in three different locations along the San Francisco waterfront. It was a huge... it was a huge footprint. So it would involve us partnering with a local group, typically a nonprofit. Occasionally we do partner with a city. And then it would involve inviting the ships and creating an event from that.
You know, I was just looking at the Santa Maria, which you were mentioning, and it looks like a complete replica of the one that Columbus set sail on, really with just one mainsail there, which I think is outstanding. It looks amazing, but are you going to give it a 3-mile head start?
So according to someone I will not name, it's like sailing a bathtub, and it can be really uncomfortable. As if you look at her, she's built for cargo, not necessarily speed. Mm-hmm. We are unfortunately not racing this summer. The ships just have other places to be, and we didn't have a follow-up port to Booth Bay Harbor. But next summer, we are planning to be in the Great Lakes. So we do a lot of racing and a lot of sailing in the Great Lakes throughout the summer. So that is something to look forward to as well.
Erin, I understand you're still looking for the perfect woman. Have you found it?
it was a very cheeky thing for me to put in there, but at the moment, I don't know if I wrote it like when I was hungry. It was lunchtime. I don't know. But I have had, I wouldn't say the perfect ramen. It is an eternal search. And I think part of the appeal is that journey. I have had some excellent ramen. Philadelphia has amazing ramen. And that was, thank you for asking.
Well, no, I spent some time growing up in Okinawa in Japan, and I love ramen, and so I have my favorite ramens, at my local sushi bar. They just do a marvelous ramen here.
I am so jealous. That is my absolute dream, is to go to Japan. They have a ramen festival. I die and go to heaven. So,
well, I can recommend, since we're on the topic, there's a couple places in Japantown that are good, but actually in the San Francisco Center at the bottom, it's called Aji-san Ramen, and they shave these very thin pieces of pork and they put an egg in it, and it's probably the best one in the city, in my opinion.
Okay. All right. I'm making a special trip out to San Francisco then.
Sold. All right.
Well, I'm done.
For more information on the Tall Ships Challenge, of course, there's tallshipschallenge.com. What else is going on, Erin?
We have tallshipsamerica.org. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the same Tall Ships America. And we yeah, follow, share, come to one of our events. We'd love to have you. Please, if you have any questions, please feel free to call us. We love talking about tall ships and getting people on board. We are all deeply passionate about what we do, and especially after the ships not sailing for last summer, we are really thrilled to see most of our ships sailing this summer, and it's just, I get a little overwhelmed even just thinking about it, to be honest.
All right. She'll get you on board later. You can tell the passion. She's been doing it some 15 years. Erin Short, who runs Tall Ships Challenge. Erin, thanks for coming on, and we really love the enthusiasm.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
And
Erin, we will be talking, Erin, definitely.
Oh, great. Love it.
Good stuff. And I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break, and we will come on back on Sports Byline USA.